News Talk 790 KFYO with Tom Collins, Laura Mack, and Ambassador Tibor Naj. Going to be commenting on Syria. First, we'd like to lay this out. You're welcome to call in at 770-5790 if you have any questions or comments you'd like to make during the interview. He would be happy to field those. And he's very well schooled in this. And then I might also warn you that when he walked in, he looked like he was either going fly fishing or going out to slop the hogs wearing his chest waders because it's getting very, very deep. Ladies and gentlemen, Ambassador Naj, welcome to the
program.
Good
morning.
I was wondering where you were going with that because you actually look very nice today.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Well, that was, you know, theater of the mind thing. But everybody's thinking the same thing, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so here we go. We've got something on our face. We don't know what it is, but could you please hand me a towel?
So give us a little background about what happened yesterday.
Wow.
Well, what happened yesterday was the Russians have thrown in a real red herring, thanks to our wonderful Secretary of State's propensity to just be stumbling on his words when he threw out this idea from nowhere about, well, if maybe the Syrians get rid of their chemical weapons or if they put them under international supervision, then we can hold off on all this, on which the Russians, of course, immediately jumped. And the Syrian foreign minister happened to be in Moscow at the time, jumped on it too. And it's going to amount to nothing.
Now, in all fairness, Mr. Ambassador, wasn't this actually not just blurted out by Kerry,
right,
but it was actually prompted by a comment from the gallery?
Yeah.
Well, of course, I think it was in the back of everybody's minds. I mean, I even thought of that. Yeah. Good grief, can't we just talk to these people and try to get them to get rid of it first? I mean, that would be your first diplomatic move.
There's a slight problem because the Syrians have approximately 1,000 tons of known chemical weapons in 50 different locations. And some of those locations are under government control. Some of them are in contested areas. And it takes about 3 days to destroy 25 to 30 tons of these material.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no guarantee, number one, who's going to take charge of destroying them, who's going to guarantee security while they're being destroyed, and who's going to be the agency that's going to supervise all of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a wonderful way for the Russians to help the Syrians buy some time. It also gives, frankly, Obama some cover if he really doesn't want to do anything now. I mean, that's obvious. And he's, feeling compelled to have to do something. So this may be a fancy way out for everybody, but at the end of the day, it's going to accomplish nothing.
Well,
because you don't think that they actually will destroy?
Oh no,
the weapons.
Oh no, they're not going to give it under control to anybody else and destroy it. That's not in their interest, and I don't think they would ever do it.
They may give something up.
Yeah,
they may have a token piece. But if we know
what they have,
how many tons did you say that
1,000?
Okay, if there were 1,000
at least,
if there were 1,000 tons that we know of, let me tell you something. Chemical weapons are like cockroaches. You see one, there's 10,000 more.
And they have factories that are making more. I mean, they have known factories. They, they can manufacture some of their own. So
Russia, they distill vodka. The Syrians, they distill chemical weapons.
But under international scrutiny.
Well, except, international scrutiny sounds very serious, but it can amount to nothing.
Ooh.
I mean, I've been in places in Africa, where international scrutiny was supposed to take place. And most of the time, these guys sat in the capital city while everything was happening, out hundreds of miles away and never left their offices.
Wow. Wow. Now, as far as the G20 meeting and how all that went, now, straighten me out on this because I'm confused. Going into this meeting, Kerry said that we had 34 nations on board.
Right.
Then the report was as we had 9 people that wanted to play, but they supported an action at the time.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to be personally involved in it.
Right.
And now,
isn't that always the case?
Is this like someone's secret girlfriend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's 10 of the 20. Or 10 that I saw in a report last night actually are just totally removed from it.
Right.
So straighten that out and level the playing field.
There is no way to straighten that out because these nations themselves, they may have said one thing to Kerry, but then they get reports back from their own capitals, and then their own populations start putting pressure on them. At the end of the day, I will be very surprised as to who we wind up with supporting us if we undertake any action. Is it going to be Luxembourg, Andorra, and Monaco? Give me a break. Remember the World War II, Stalin talking about the Pope saying, how many divisions does the Pope have?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, are these going to be, we can end up with 10 lists of countries. I mean, remember, Taiwan still has diplomatic relations around the world with 17 different countries. But are they going to really matter, and are they going to really contribute in any way?
Right. That's crazy. We're with Ambassador Tibor Nagy. It's 15 minutes after the hour. We'll be back. 7:19 with Tom Collins and Laura Mack in the house. We have Ambassador Tibor P. Nagy Jr., currently serving as Vice Provost for International Affairs at Texas Tech. 2002 academic year, he was Department of State's diplomat in residence at the University of Oklahoma, previously U.S. Ambassador from Ethiopia, 1999 to 02, and Ambassador to Guinea, 96 to 99. Welcome back to the program again.
Great to be here, guys.
thanks for coming in and sharing your time with us in perspective. Again, I'd like to invite you to call in if you have a question or comment, like to make a statement, 770-5790. That's the number, and you're on with Tibor Nagy. Now, here's one thing that I'm kind of, the way that I see this, and I agree with some of the commentation that I've seen or heard or listened to. Out of this, two things are going to happen. Because of the relationship and the element of Al-Qaeda, that terrorism will expand because they're getting a pass on this one. Okay. And two, leadership, America's leadership in the world as we know it is no more.
Well, I wouldn't say that it's no more, but I think we're definitely going to take a black eye on this because I don't see a quote-unquote successful outcome. The only thing I see possible is a less negative outcome. As far as Al-Qaeda goes, you know, a lot of the people talk about that the rebels are Al-Qaeda. We ought to remember that only about 20 to 30% of the rebels are Al-Qaeda. If we had helped the other 70 to 80%, the situation would be a lot different now. Because if you remember when this whole thing started, some really high-ranking Syrian military officers went over to the opposition. The Turks were trying to help. They were trying to get organized. But there was no U.S. assistance. There was no serious engagement by the United States, as we did say with the Afghan opposition. Because we were just sitting on our hands trying to figure out what to do with this whole situation. We really missed a great opportunity 2 years ago. And it's impossible to go back to that now because the situation is so much messier.
This is what I'm kind of curious about, because you say 20% of the rebels are Al-Qaeda. Mm-hmm. Now, does this mean that we have a three sides of the ball here? We've got the legit rebels, then we have the Al-Qaeda rebels, and then we have the Syrian government. So are the Al-Qaeda rebels fighting the other rebels as well as the Syrian government and vice versa?
Yes. The answer is, but there's a lot more sides too. Because remember, there's Hezbollah. This is the first time that Hezbollah has, from Lebanon, invaded another country. You have Iranian agents, and you probably have Iranian Revolutionary Guards in there too. Al-Qaeda just represents the Islamic fundamentalist Sunni side. So then you have the Alawites, which is Bashar al-Assad's own ethnic group, and the Alawites are considered by most Muslims to be apostate. They are seen as an offshoot of Shia Islam. So you have a whole lot of players, and that's what people need to understand, is that this is not a two-sided chessboard or even a three-sided chessboard. This is like alternative universes on each other.
Wow. Yeah. I don't think people do understand that, because to us, a civil war is two sides.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the United States of America likes to deal in dualities. The good guys, the bad guys. Who are the good guys? Will help them. The bad guys will take care of them. And this is not one of those cases.
I think the president's speech writers are kind of scrambling right now and scratching their head, because I think yesterday morning we were thinking we were going to talk about one thing tonight. After yesterday, I think there are several different arguments that could play out and be stated. What are the four arguments that you think could come out of tonight's speech?
There's three possible scenarios here. One, U.S. national interest. Two, the humanitarian interest. Three, the credibility of the United States of America, or some mixture of those three. And he would have to be extremely articulate, because the public is extremely dubious. Our congressional representatives are extremely dubious. And for him to make a case, he needs to put it in such a way that the American voter will say, yeah, I get it. I'm with you on that. Okay, I'm changing my mind. Go for it. Instead, he has some alternatives, but I don't think he can incorporate those, because that would hit his credibility. Because, you know, we were talking about the whole issue of chemical weapons, and he could focus on that and then take off the table wanting to strike at Assad right now and say, yeah, we're going to get you, we're going to prosecute you. It may take 5 years, but you will end up facing the, you know, the international tribunal. But to do this, you know, whatever words Kerry used, this is going to be an incredibly small or unbelievably small event. My gosh.
This is another thing that I thought about as that statement was made. If the international community and the UN did not support action, and then he goes to Congress, and Congress does not vote him and give him the pass on this, and then at this point, if he goes ahead and pulls the trigger and moves forward, then where does that put him in the international community? I mean, it kind of smells like a war crimes thing. Because when the whole world opposes you and your own country does not support you, and you go in and you strike anyway, doesn't that smell like that?
Well,
is this history repeating itself?
Well, no, then
different country.
Yeah, you become the international outcast instead of Bashar al-Assad and Vladimir Putin. Isn't this something that Vladimir Putin's going to be the one who's going to end up looking best of all from this whole thing?
And you can bet he's going to take his shirt off again.
Well, it sounds like France has embraced the fact that there was a Western threat, because they're saying that they're going to put forth that resolution in the UN Security Council, forcing Syria to dismantle their chemical weapons.
Yeah, and if you read,
and they think that Russia is, you know, has said, oh no, it wasn't going on. And then they were like, okay, now it is. And so, yes, we'll talk to them about dismantling.
Yeah,
so
the French resolution is actually well written, because I think it has three components and they all would be credible. And it would give Obama kind of a nice face-saving way to back out of this by, again, holding Assad responsible down the line if they don't carry through with it. And it's something that Russia would find it very difficult to oppose. So, you know, we'll see where that goes. But the French are much cleverer at diplomacy than we are. They lose wars all the time, but they come out smiling at the end.
Yeah.
You know?
I just have a question. With England backing out.
Right.
And just saying, no, we're not going there. They were very decisive and very immediate about that. And then it would appear that France would be our primary ally and advocate in this particular argument. Where does that change the playing field for France down the road on the world stage?
Well, the French have been known to be very decisive and very consistent in backing their own interests. Remember when Mali came along? I mean, they were in there in a couple of days when it looked like the Al-Qaeda group was going to take over the whole country. Remember when Libya was involved? They were the ones who launched the airplanes without telling anybody else when it looked like Gaddafi was going to slaughter the citizens of Benghazi. And it was only then that Obama said, okay, your airplanes are in the air, we're going to help you out. So France is very limited in their interests, but they know what their interests are, and they know when they have to act. They're a lot more consistent as a medium-sized power than we are as a global power. And I hate to say that.
I know.
I'm interested to see.
I hate to be beat out by the French on anything, right?
I know.
I'm interested to see how the national media handles this, if this is just going to kind of fritter away into oblivion, or if people are actually going to pursue this. Because if recent, you know, actions hold true, it's just going to be kind of swept under the rug and everything's going to be business as usual, you think?
Some other story's going to come up.
It's 7:29. We'll be back with Ambassador Naj on KFYO. Tom and Laura, good morning. KFYO, good morning. It is 7:39 with Tom and Laura in the studio. We have Ambassador Tibor Naj from Texas Tech University. He's vice provost there. Also, checking in with us right now on the horn, Congressman Randy Neugebauer. Welcome to the program. Thanks for taking time for us this morning. I know you got a busy day.
Well, good morning, Tom, Laura, and good morning, Ambassador, to you as well.
Morning, Congressman.
Congressman Neugebauer, all this stuff, the game has changed. Did you still have the security briefing yesterday afternoon as planned?
Yes, we did. You know, we had that at 5 o'clock. It lasted about a little over an hour and a half. And, you know, Tom, I didn't really hear anything in that briefing yesterday that, you know, really changed my position much. I'm still, I haven't heard anything that leads me to believe that the military action is our best option in this situation.
Right. Now, I know in the face of the game change, that people still have the same sentiment and we're breathing a sigh of relief. You personally, from your heart, speaking for the people of West Texas, what would you advise the president to do?
Well, I think it should be obvious to the president right now that he's not going to get the backing. It doesn't appear he's going to get the backing for using military force. And so I think his best option is to try to, you know, work something out diplomatically, intervene in that way, bring some partners together. You know, what we see is there's a lot of support for, trying to resolve this conflict in the region and around the world. There was not a lot of support for the U.S. taking military action. And so this latest proposal with Russia, I think he needs to pursue it. I think he should pursue it with caution. You know, I'm not a big fan of Putin. I'm not sure we can trust him. But I think we have to run this gambit here and see where this leads to.
Right. Agreed. Congressman, thanks for joining us. We'll hear more from the inside from you on the Chad Hastie Show coming up this morning at 8:30. Thanks for joining us this morning.
You bet. Thank you.
We appreciate that. Comments, Tibor Nash?
Yeah, I totally agree with the congressman on this, that we have to go to other alternatives, because we have to ask ourselves, what does the United States want to see happen long term? The thing about launching a missile to 324 Main Street at 4 p.m., you know, on October 20th, is not a strategy. It's a tactic, but at this point, it's not even a tactic because we'll achieve nothing. We need to look at the long term. We want the situation to be stabilized. We want the regime eventually to be gone. But when it's gone, we want it to transition to something that will be better to replace it with. It's not going to come through with indeterminate fighting between factions. That road will lead to a gross civil war, as we had in Lebanon, which will not end until all the sides are exhausted, as it did with Lebanon. So we need to be the adults here. You know, we have given up that role. And oh my gosh, a world where the French and the Russians are the adults. Can you imagine what a world that would be like? But that's what we're going to, because of our own ineptness and our unwillingness or inability to pursue diplomacy because of these other short-sighted goals.
Well, with all the wavering, Laura, that has been going on here and a lack of decisiveness, the cat has actually pooped in the sandbox, and we legitimately have a shovel-ready job.
But really, if he had gone over there, if Obama had gone ahead and just struck Syria, I mean, wouldn't he be in bigger trouble right now?
Depends on how. Two years ago, when this started and the opposition were 100% good guys instead of, you know, 70-30, and he had really put in his weight back then, and surgical strikes, and it could have been done much, much easier.
It could have made a difference.
Yeah.
This may sound like a very elementary question, but I think people are thinking this question. Chemical warfare over there in Syria. Okay, it's terrible what they did to those people. It is terrible. And what he continues to do to his own people. But how does that affect the United States? How does that affect us over here?
The only way that will affect the United States is if the chemical weapons get into the hands of the real bad people, who could then use it against Israel, more likely, much less likely against another one of our friends. You know,
and then that forces
Europe,
us to become involved.
Then that forces us to become involved in a much, much bigger way. Mm-hmm. Then we have no choice. And then American existentialism is at threat, unlike now.
So it is in our interest to get rid of these chemical weapons in some shape, form, or fashion.
As long as they were under Syrian supervision, Assad supervision, the Israelis were actually comfortable with it, and we were comfortable with it. It's only now, when there's al-Qaeda running around in the area, that we're becoming highly uncomfortable. But again, I don't think Obama has explained that to anybody, to where Americans understand it, as to, so what? You know, at the end of the day, every American will say, so what? What does that mean to me? What does that mean to my community? If he can't explain that, then he's lost.
You know, I'm not sure that he understands it.
I agree. You know, this is where we need a leader and not a college professor. I work in a, you know, campus, and I love college professors. But at this point, we need someone who is more Reagan-esque and can articulate a complicated policy instead of taking a policy and even making it more complicated, to where people scratch their heads and kind of stare off. What is he talking about?
How do you feel about the people who are advising the president, the military people who are advising him?
The military people know what needs to be done. I'm more worried about his own kitchen cabinet, the staffers whose first question is, how can this make the president look good? How can this make him look like a leader? You know, those are the people I worry about. I personally know Susan Rice. I have the greatest respect for her. I'm less you know, fond of, say, Kerry or some of Obama's personal staffers who have very, very narrow political agendas and know nothing about geopolitics.
Right. Hey, Ambassador Nash, thanks for joining us this morning. I appreciate that.
My pleasure.
I would love to stay in touch with you as this develops and unfolds and get the color commentary.
Sure,
you
bet.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a wonderful rest of the show.
Appreciate it. Good morning at 7:45.